payments, theft, shomrim. Now, if we had cameras in every single corner, then the world of Tom and Eitan wouldn't exist. We'd know in every litigation what happened, and we'd have a map for who pays him. Oh, you damaged me, Yaakov, you pay me. Oh, you stole from me, Joe, you pay me double. Oh, you kidnapped, and you pay me five times. We'd know exactly how to litigate, exactly how to adjudicate. But we don't have cameras in every location. There's a whole world of uncertainty as to what happened. What took place? Did you steal? Did you not steal? Did you pay? Did you not pay? Did this? Did you pay the ksuba? Did you not pay the ksuba? That's called the world of Toan Vinitan. We're not trying to decide what the halacha is. We know that a ganav is chayiv, but were you a ganav? We know that a lova has to pay back, but did you pay back? That's the world of sveikos, where there's sveikos between toveya and nitva, between toan and nitan. We have to generate mechanisms in the absence of absolute hard, ironclad information. We have to generate pseudo-evidence. We have to generate pseudo-data, pseudo-empirical evidence to try to prove what happened. So, for example, what's the highest standard of evidence if we don't have a camera? Eidim. Al pishnayim eidim yakum davar. The Torah establishes that as the golden mean, the golden standard. Anytime eidim come, the entire case shuts down. The problem is, we can't always count on eidim being available. So how can we incorporate eidim into a time capsule? What do we call incorporated eidim? An affidavit, a time capsule. What do we call that? Well, that is shtar. So the Edom can die, the Edom can go off to Medina Sayyam, and we still have their testimony. So a shtar is more or less equivalent to Edos. We'll talk a little bit about shtar in the third parak. But you know what? Those are first world opportunities. The first world, you've got Edom available in shtaros, but in most cases it's more chaotic, and in most cases there's a vacuum of information. So we have to generate additional mechanisms to try to decide whether Baruch's right or Nadav's right. So what else can we generate? A shvua. Now a shvua is a defensive tactic normally. Most of the shvuas in the Torah, does anyone know the phrase, kol ha-nishbayin, nishbayin, ve'inam mishalmim? The Torah's vision of a shvua is a defense mechanism. If, let's say, Shmuley has certain tools that maybe make me pay and something fishy about it, I'd be chayiv unless I take a shvua. There are no shvuos in the Torah that are proactive collecting facilitators. Anyone know the three shvuos min haTorah? There are three shvuos that are min haTorah. There's a big world of shvuos midrabanan. There are three shvuos min haTorah. Shmuley, Eirachat, Jacob, Shomrim, Baruch. Eirachat, Shomrim, and Moda b'mitzvos. If two Edom support my claim, Akiva, you pay. If one Eid supports my claim, you swear on your pater. If I say you owe me 100, you say no, you're pater. If I say you owe me 100, you say 50, yes, you swear on the other 50. If you're my shomer, you swear. They're all defensive. But at least it means Rabbanan, there's certain people who take a shvua, and that shvua facilitates their collecting money, not just defending. So we've got a shvua. What else do we have in this world of Ton Benitan? What? Okay, that's a subset of shvua. But what other tools to say whether Shmuley's right or Nachum's right? We don't really know. We don't have Eidos. Okay, what type of a chazaka? We have a chazaka on hand in our Gemara. Not a chazaka of the mikvah, because that's pointless. What, since you had money? What do we call that? We call that a nansadi. Most people who learn ksuvos in high school, who learn ksuvos the first parak, most husbands aren't going to marry their wife, make a really big party, spend millions of dollars, and then all of a sudden lie about whether she was a psula and divorce them on a whim. What do we call the chazaka? Ein adam terech besuda umafsida. That's called an anansadi. Most people behave in a certain fashion. We have such an anansadi on display here. Most people, what's the anansadi? The Gemara calls the chazaka, but it's really an anansadi, human behavior, human nature. Most people don't pay back prematurely. So therefore, if you said you pay back prematurely, you're probably wrong and you still owe the money. So you have anansadis. What else do we have? We'll see this a little bit later in the Gemara. Migo. If one of the litigants has a reserve claim, so his position is more leveraged, is more resource. Some, if I walk into the basin and I've got multiple paths to victory, you only have one path to victory, and in certain conditions, I win and you don't. You've got this whole laundry list of factors, and then in the absence of any information, no migos, no anansadis, just a straight dumb case, Yehuda versus Yosef. Yehuda says, Yosef, you owe money. Yosef says, go fly a kite, I never saw you in my life. Who wins? Yosef, what do we call that? We call that a covered bakol, but on what strength does he win? Hamotzi, Mechavero, Olav Haraya. Yehuda, you're trying to extract money from Yosef. Hamotzi, Mechavero, Olav Haraya. Now, what type of raya is sufficient to be motzi money from Yosef, to put your hand into Yosef's pocket? Typically, we assume the only raya that can facilitate payment is the gold standard or its equivalent. What's the gold standard? Eidim. What's the equivalent? Shtar. So if I say Yosef yami money, navimiga, doesn't work. Yosef yami money, have an anansadi, doesn't work. Remember, the husband in Ksuvos, who uses his anansadi, is using his anansadi defensively. I don't want to pay the Ksuva. He's using it defensively, not offensively, not to take money. Okay, so he's not lying because he wouldn't lie after all that expenditure. So normally, Ellie, to take money from someone, you need a really strong Eidim Shtar equivalent. If I say, Benji, you owe me money, say, Rabbi Tarigan, I don't know, I forgot. What am I called? I'm called a Bari. What are you called? Called a Shema. Bari Veshema? Lav Bari Adif, we paskin. There's some Amarayim that held Bari Adif, we paskin. Lav Bari Adif, because Benji's the Muchsak. If I want to break your hold on your money and stick my grubby hands into your pocket, I need Eidim. What's confusing about that one word? It's called Eidim. Not Migo, not Chazaka, not Bari Veshema, not Rov. I want to take back my money. I paid you money for a car, Alex, and the car came without a steering wheel. And he said, I'm going to tell you, I sold you for spare parts. I said, well, most people buy a car to drive, so give me back. I would take my hand, take my money back. Too bad. Ein olchem b'mama nachar Rov. Ein olchem b'mama nachar Rov. The Gemara says in Baba Basa Tzadik Aleph. Mekach does. You're claiming that Mekach. You claim that you sold me the car for parts. Now, if we both agree that I bought the car to drive and there's no wheel, then of course I get the money back. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. Here there's a doubt what the terms of the sale were. There's no contract. I say I bought it to drive. You say you bought it, you sold me for spare parts. I don't get the money back. Nothing. Not Rov. Not Migo. Nothing. Hamotzi Mechaveru Lavarai is that strong. It's the bully of the Babas. I like to call it the bully of the Babas. You can't turn a page in the Babas without banging up against Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya, and you lose that battle 90% of the time. 90% of the time, unless you have Eidim, the default, the baseline is, you owe me money. You say you don't, you win, period. I don't care why you say you don't owe me money. You never saw me, you paid back, you paid my third party, paid my fifth party, lightning struck, and I was mocha. Come up with whatever cover story you want, your punter. I can't take my grubby hands, take your money, unless I've got Eidim or the equivalent. They've got these Gemaras and Shas that are aberrant, that deviate from that, that allow someone to take money from someone else, even in the absence of Eidim. Can you think of such a Gemara and Shas? Very good. According to? Not according to Abayin Rava. Right, buying rubber played straight. You're going to say, Adiv, you owe me money. You say, pay me back, you're potter. Whether you say, pay me back after term, pre-term, who cares about the cover story? You're the milksuck. How many times do I have to say it? What's confusing about that? You're the milksuck. I'm the milksuck. Adiv's the milksuck. He's the milksuck bully. If I don't have Adiv, I can't move. Then my shluckish shatters the paradigm. My shluckish all of a sudden introduces. That's the setting of our Gemara. We'll read a little bit today, but this is just one small piece of crystal in a huge chandelier of Tan Venita. And the time to discuss, but this is a major, major seismic shift. Reish Lakish evidently feels that something's going on here. Now, what's the easiest thing to say? It may not be the most logical thing today, but what will maintain systemic integrity? What will keep the system intact? Everything I've said until now. That this whole thing that Reish Lakish cooks up, that Chazaka, Einatim Parea, Tochzman, is really like? Come on, what would be the consistency? What would be just applying the old paradigms without creating anything new? What would be the conservative position? Who's conservative? Who likes to be just conservative in life? Don't say anything new. That Reish Lakish's statement that you don't pay back preterm is like? It beats Motz Mechaveh Alav Harai because it is? Like Eidim. Because it has the strength of Eidim. We'll create equivalency. When I say, Benji, people don't pay back preterm, I'm not saying most people, stats, tables, actuaries. I'm saying no one. No one in his right mind, which is logically very, very taxing, very uncertain, but it keeps the system's integrity. The only way you could take money out of someone's pocket is if you have Eidim. The Eidim can either be two people walking in singing in stereo, we saw Yaakov take money from Joey, never pay back, sing their duet, barbershop duet, or a shtar that incorporates their testimony, or there are certain activities. I don't know, is there anything like that in life? No one pays taxes on time. No people pay taxes on time. No one does that. But evidently, you can reach human behavior that is so compelling and so widespread and so obvious that it's treated like avos. And that would be one way to attend. The Rishonim don't really help us here. This is something that Achronim start to develop. The Ma'arid, one of the 16th century Achronim, calls it like Eidos, because why would you be Motzi Mamon according to Rish Lakish if it weren't Eidos? The other approach is to say something more logical, but something that taxes the system. To say that Yaakov, so this is not Eidos, because there are some people who pay back preterm, some people are diligent and dutiful, and they want to get their money debts out of the way. They don't like that feeling, owing people money is not a good feeling, and they want to pay back as quickly as possible. There are some people whose uncles die and leave them with massive riches and massive wealth, and they want to pay back on time. Most people, and basically, this is not Eidos level, this is just an Nansandi, Raglayan Ladavar, it's a hochacha, it's a proof. It's not Eidos, it's something lower than Eidos. And something about this case makes it different legally than other cases of litigation and allows, normally you need Eidim Eli to take money from someone. Here, any hochacha or Berur or Raglayan Ladavar or Nansandi will be sufficient for the Ksuvas people. Woman has a star, maybe there's a member who learned Ksuvas Yud Beis, you can use the Bari Bishema or Amigo to take. Anyone learn Ksuvas here in high school? Yud Beis, you get up to Yud Beis, remember the Machlokas Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, debates about the Ksuva, and the woman can use certain tools that normally aren't effective in being Motzi Mamon, to be Motzi Mamon from her husband because she has a star or a Ksuva in her hand. Not all Svekos are uniform, not all Svekos are the same. You have to fix the same stuff. I come and say, owe me money, in a vacuum you win. But not all Svekos are in a vacuum. There's context. There are variables that exist in certain Svekos that don't exist in others. Maybe this is a unique Suffolk. Maybe this case is not the classic Suffolk. Not this is the classic Suffolk. Alex said, I win because I've got Eidos-like proof that you didn't pay back because no one pays back preterm. Yaakov, you said it a little bit in Seder. What makes this Suffolk different? What makes this litigation different? Normally I say, Ariel, you owe me money. Say, take a hike over there. I never saw you in my life. What's happening here? What does the law say? I saw you. I took money. There's something here. This isn't a dead case. You're not a deadbeat ambulance chaser. We had a relationship. I took money, but I paid back. In that case, the Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya defense of the defendant, his strength, may be a little bit compromised. Maybe Amotzi Mechavero is very powerful when the defendant says, get out of my face. I never saw you. We never had privacy. Why are you stalking me? This is creepy. How'd you get my IP? Like, where did you come from? Oh, in that case, Amotzi Mechavero is very, very strong. And the only way you can beat it is with Adam. But when the defendant says, I saw you, I borrowed money, but I paid back. I took your Pikadon, but I paid back. I took your loan, but I paid back. Well, listen to what I'm saying. Everyone be quiet. Listen to what I'm saying. In that case, the defendant also wins. In the absence of any other force, if I say, Jacob, where's the money? You say, you borrowed it, you pay it back. You're believed if you say you pay it back after term. So there's still almost Mechavel of Araya, but it's a downgraded one. It's not the same strength. There are two levels to Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya. There's Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya of Lehadam, where the guy says, I never saw you. And then there's Amotzi, listen carefully, this is adjusting. There's Amotzi Mechavel of Araya, where I say, I saw you, but I paid back. I win, unless you have some, not even like Raya, but anything working in your favor. Please listen to what I'm saying. It's not obvious. There are two different forms of Amotzi Mechavel of Araya. There's the one where I say, I never saw you, and that is comprehensive, overwhelming, unbeatable, no matter what you have, unless you have Eidim. And then there's a Motzi Mechavel of Araya where you say, well, I saw you, I took your money, but I paid back. You still win, unless I have, in this case, not Eidim, but at least some proof or hochacha indicator that you didn't pay back. If you were to claim back, Alex, I borrowed money, but I paid back after term, you'd be believed, because I'm Motzi Mechavel of Araya. But somehow when you say you paid back preterm, and I have Araya that normally wouldn't be Eidim, but it's still Araya, in this case, where? Listen to the language. There's a Cheska Schiev. You were once Chayev, it disrupts the strength, it impedes the strength of Amotzi Mechavero Olivarai. Who had a question? Joey.
Why is this not considered a mikvah?
We'll get you. You don't have a mikvah. What's your mikvah? I said I paid back before time. What could I say?
I said that never borrowed.
Okay, we'll see that a bit later. We'll see that a bit later, okay? Now, good question. We'll see Migo tomorrow. Namely, let me Yehuda, what's your question? Okay, so you're giving the reason why people don't pay back early. But okay, we know why they don't pay back early, but why is that relevant in the halacha constellation? Why does that allow me to take money? Either because no one does it and it's like Eidos, or it's just the Beirut. This is our question. And make sure I'm helping you see this.
Okay, I got it. It's like kind of pushing somebody to not pay back early, even if they're able to.
Correct. Okay, which is fine. We have no interest in
helping the mom get his money before he deserves it.
All these kids are run out because they're dead at the beginning. Like, that's logical. Like, for the
okay, guys. Is the chazaka ein adam parea toch zmano? And your motzi mamon, lahotzi mamon. This is the shita of Reish Lakish. This is Aiden.
If you're interested, this is the Mahari. It's just if you want to tag it with an afro.
Or is it just a raglayim l'davar? If it's Aiden, okay, makes sense. If it's raglayim l'davar, raglayim l'davar allows it to be motzi mamon? Evidently, in this case, the motzi mechavero olav haraya is a weaker one. Different types of motzi mechavero olav haraya. So motzi mechavero olav haraya, where the defendant says, I never saw you, then the only way you can take money from it is with Aiden. But in this case, where you have a cheskas chiyuv, the motzi mechavero olav haraya is weakened. Now here's the deep end of the pool, deep end of the ocean, which is weakened motzi mechavero olav haraya. But is that just quantitative? You've got a motzi mechavero olav haraya on a scale of 1 to 10, and some motzi mechavero olav harayas are very strong, and some motzi mechavero olav harayas are weaker. Or is that qualitative? Is a motzi mechavero olav haraya composed of different components, different elements that normally let someone win? And one of those elements just isn't relevant in this case, and that's why you have not a quantitatively diluted amotzi mechavero olav haraya, but a hampered amotzi mechavero olav haraya, only one of the components. Why would you say amotzi mechavero olav haraya? Let's see if we can just tease out this question, just because this is the broader question. If I say, Benji, owe me money, you say no, why does Benji win? That's my shirt, you say no, why do you win? In the absence of any agent. That's a description, but what does muksik mean? Why? What's the logic? What? Okay, so you just, what does that mean? What does that mean about muksik?
He has something that proves that he is
So you're just saying that there's a latent low-level proof in possession, that if he's wearing the shirt, we don't assume he's a thief, we assume he either bought it, most Jews aren't thieves, so we have a very, very low raya in the absence of any other compelling rayos, the raya of possession wins. So basically, we now decide empirically, in the absence of any other rayos, that Benji's the shirt owner slash manufacturer.
I don't need a raya.
So now Nadav's saying something else, not logical, but legal and formal. What are you saying, Nadav?
What's logical is that if you want to claim that the shirt is yours, then the onus is on you to prove
it. So you're saying something formal. We don't know whether really Yehuda... Maybe Benji did steal it. But in order to extract money, you have to provide legal impetus. You have to start. And if you want to change the status quo, you've got to change the status quo. You can't just come and say, oh, you all say that's my shirt, and Yehuda, that's my glasses, and Nadav, that's my gartel, and Baruch, that's my computer, and Yaakov, that's my black kippah. Let's go around making claims. There's got to be some grounds for your claims. Can't all of a sudden launch proactive claims against people. It's not because I'm looking at that shirt and say, well, is there a Tarragon shirt? It's a Benji shirt, right? It's probably Benji shirt. He's not a thief. No, you're wearing the shirt. Let sleeping dogs lie. Until I provide some leverage, some movement, some reason, some basis, some grounds, case doesn't start. That's more legal. So what is a motzi mechavero olav haraya? Legally, we're just legally inert until someone wakes us up. We're not going to all of a sudden change. Can you imagine endless litigation? If every claim could be acknowledged and litigated, basically endless claims. There's got to be some bar. Until you reach a certain bar, you can't lodge claims. Those claims are dismissed. Those claims are ignored. As opposed to saying, every claim is recognized, but every claim is a built-in victory for the defendant. Is there, what is a motzi mechaver olav harai? What is it based on? A motzi mechaver olav harai. This is what it's called. It's based on what some people call muchsak, which is right to say, and other people just holding on. Or there's a beirur for the muchsak, that there's actually a raya for benching. Which of these components would be affected by a cheskes chiyah, by this unique suffix we have in this case? Which of the components of Motzi Chavero would be affected by the fact that something happened here?
The
Muchsak. The Muchsak, right. The Muchsak is based on the fact that, let's just be inert, let's just keep the status quo. But here, or we can't keep the status quo because we know that there's a loan, money exchange hands. So if a Motzi Chavero, all of Haraya, if you're not following this, it's fine, is both a Beirur and a Muchsak, it could be that in our case, this is not relevant, because we know, if I come in and say, Joey, that's my jacket, and then you say, I never saw you in my character, I never saw you in my life. So it's not because we know it's your jacket, we just, you're wearing the jacket, you get to keep wearing the jacket. But here he said, yeah, it was your jacket, but you loaned it to me, and then I bought. So in that case, all of a sudden there's a case here, it's not litigated. You may win because the fact that you're wearing it now probably proves that you're the last owner. That's what we have here. We have a compromise, Hamotzi Mechaver Olavaraya, not just quantitatively. Here's a scale, and you lower the visibility on your computer from 9. We never like to say that, because those are unquantifiable, those are not reproducible. We like to say, oh, if it's weaker here, it's because one of the components that normally lends such robust strength to Hamotzi Mechaver Olavaraya, one of those components just doesn't apply here. Because there's an issue. There's a litigation. We can't just say, let sleeping dogs lie. Don't change anything. Keep the status quo. We can't keep the status quo. There's a loan here. We have to bore down into this case and decide who's right. In that case, we may accept non-Eidus like proofs to allow the person to be Motzi Mamlek. That's our question. That's the global ramifications of this question. We're going to see Rishonim that help us decide whether Ein Adam Pareh Toch Zmano is like Eidim, or Ein Adam Pareh Toch Zmano is not like Eidim, and all it really is, all it is a Raya. But I want you to understand how powerful this Sugya is. If it's like Eidim, then the whole system is intact. Only Eidim can be Motzi Mamon. Rish Lakish felt that this is like Eidim. It can be Motzi Mamon from the defendant. If it's not like Eidim, it's a weaker proof. What does that even mean? How could you take money out of people's pockets without Eidim? Evidently, this is a different subject. You know, we'd have to take this Gemara and associate it with about 15 other Gemaras in Shas where you have different types of snakos and see that the Mochzakos and the Motzi Mechavei Levaraya operates very differently there. And Rish Lakish becomes a major, major shita. Okay, Yaakov, what was your question?
Seemingly, the Hazakah would also knock out the Birur side, because if the whole thing of Birur is most likely, if the money's in your pocket, it's yours, well, most likely, if the money's in your pocket before the due date, most likely you have to pay it still.
Okay, so okay, that's a little tougher, because if I'm still holding to my money, then it proves that it's my money, how do you prove that it's your money? But here, I think what you're saying is the mochzak doesn't apply because this is a cheskat chiyuv, and then my bearer beats your bearer. The fact that it's in your pocket means it shows it's yours, but the fact that most people don't pay back means you probably didn't pay back, and therefore you have to pay back now. So all of a sudden, we've got a compromise. Normally, when I try to bring a non-Eidus level bearer to beat you, they say, look, it's not Eidus, we're not starting. But here, we've already started. We're ready. Does anyone ever learn Bava Metzia? Why is this called in Bava Metzia, the Bezim and Bez? Who learned Bava Metzia in high school? Well, there's a suffix where something definitely happened, which is not sure, as opposed to a suffix as to whether something happened. What do we call Shnei Mochs and Metalis, as opposed to other types of Svekos? That's the level of Achro. What do we call when there's definitely a question, there's definitely an objective suffix, we just don't know? Drara de Mimona, where there's some factor in here, there's some... Simchus admits that here you can't say Yachloku. Remember that days and the days, distant memories back in high school. If we get any context for you, there are different types of svekos. Here's a suffix where something happened in the past. Not exactly Dura Demana, but it's the same category. When something happened, now we have to engage. Normally a Motzi Mechaver Olavaraya, we just disengage. We just ignore it. We can't be obsessed about every single crazy litigation. People are crazy, they're litigation obsessed, they'll just make random claims against people, hire dream teams of lawyers. Until you can bring evidence, we're not sitting in court. But we already have a case here, because everyone admits you borrowed money, now it's just asking whether you paid back. That may be a very different type of suffix, and that may allow tools that normally are irrelevant and impotent to extract money. And that's what Rish Lakish may be saying. So now let's get to our Rishonim. That's the global ramifications of the sugya. Which Rishonim did you see? Which factors would help us decide whether this force called everyone doesn't pay back preterm is like Edim, or it's just a Raya. It can be Motzi Mamon, but it's not really like Edim. Can anyone attach this question to some of the sources you saw? Yes, it's a hard sugya, it's a little bit abstract. Let's see if you can. Okay, let's start with the easy source. I know how much you saw yesterday, so it's a hard day, or it's tired. What if I say, Akiva, not you owe me money, and you say, oh, I paid you back preterm, in which case Rish Lakish would allow me to take Akiva's money away, but I say, maybe you owe me money, I forgot. What if the Tovea is a Shema? Very good. We'll see the Mordechai in a second. Now tell me, what happens, Nachum, if I say, I forgot whether you owe me money, and I want your litigation with a possible claim, and then Edim comes. Do I win or do I not win?
Win.
Of course I win. What difference does it make? I've Edim. I made a claim. It's a Shema. It's a weak claim. But I've Edim. Who cares? So now we have our barometer. If I win in this case, even if I'm a Shema, then it's because I've got Edim-like strength on my side, because this proof that no one pays back preterm is like Edim came, and I don't really care whether my claim is a Bari or Shema. The Tovea's claim. The prosecutor's claim. But if the Tovea is only believed if he claims Bari, but if he claims Shema, he's not believed, it's because the proof, according to Rish Lakish, is not like Edim, it's just a proof. But if you're a Shema and the other guy's a Bari, Baruch, you owe me money. He said, I said, maybe you owe me money. He said, you definitely don't owe me money. I'm a Shema and you're a Bari. So the fact that the offset between your certitude and my uncertainty, I don't win. Let's take a look at the Mordechai. Mordechai makes this claim. This is one of the major, major questions in the Sikha. Taf Samaches. Okay, it's a Machlokas Achronim, but the Mordechai is the only Mishnah to address this. Bad addresses also, I'm sorry, correct. This is a very, very engaging case. Let's just read the case just to get a flavor of the Mordechai. It's a whole laundry list of Chachmei Ashkenaz, most of whom's Svarim we no longer have, so this is our access to them. Nishal, two lines before, Taf Samaches. Please, everyone, try to find in the Mordechai. Taf Samaches. Nishal, Rabbeinu Yehuda Rav Klonimus. Rabbeinu Meir Bered Mordechai. Rabbeinu Ephraim Reb Yaakov. Rabbeinu Baruch Reb Shmuel, Avram Halevi. So there were four Gedolim who were consulted about a man who hired a sofer, and the sofer wrote part of the, not clear, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, this is not clear what he was writing. Then the sofer traveled, and the sofer died on the road, and the woman wants to claim the schiros because she needs money to live by, so she wants to claim the schiros of her dead sofer husband's work from the maskir. So obviously there's a lot of socher maskir questions. When are you obligated to pay money for a workman, for a repairman, for a sofer? And this was discussed very extensively. This was a big question in Ashkenaz in the 14th century, in the 15th, 13th century. So a little bit further down, I don't know if you got to this, the ode. Okay, if you go to Taf Samach Tes in the old versions, and you go about five lines before. Okay, listen to the Mordechai. It's about five lines before Taf Samach Tes. The ode. Okay, I'm sorry, a little bit more. 5, 6, 7, 8. The ode. Ulai chazaka ein adam parea lo mahanya ela hecha diika bari ubari. Where the Tovea is also a Bari, not just the Nitva. Avol Hacha, in this case, Toenes Aisha Vayorshim Shema. They say, we don't know whether you paid my husband, but it was preterm because he hadn't finished writing, so it's not really the full term of writing, and therefore, Ein Adam Parea. So, the Mordechai Paskins that the ability to take money from a Lova who claims he paid back preterm is only if the Tovea is a Bari. Not if it's Tovei as Hashem. Effectively, the Mordechai cannot believe that this Rish Lakish principle is Eidus, because if it were Eidus, who would care what level of claim is lodged by the Tovei? We don't really care. If there is a hard and fast principle that provides Eidus level information and no one pays back preterm, we don't care about the quality of the claim. So Machlokas, Man, the Shach, how to interpret this Mordechai, whether we can actually make that conclusion. Sma says a special Lach of Yorushin. But this is our first indicator that the Rishonim were sensitive to what type of proof allows me to take money from your pocket, because Ein Adam Parav Tov Smana. What else did you see in the Rishonim may help us decide whether this is proof, positive, Eidos level information, or it's just an indicator? We're gauging how strong this Ein Adam Parav Tov Smana factor is, and this, of course, is going to affect our whole system. What did Reish Lakish mean? I have Eden that she didn't pay back, and that's why I take money? Or I have an indicator, a Raya, or a Glayim Adavra, but since this is a compromised suffix of Cheskes Chiyav, I can take your money away. What else did you see in the Rishonim? Well, before the Rambam, what did you see in the Gemara? Look at my hands. We've talked about this before. Is there any expansion of Reish Lakish? Not only can you take money from the pocket of your lover who claims he paid back preterm, what else can you do? You can take money, not just from the lova, even from the yarshim of the lova who say their father paid back preterm. And what do we normally need when you collect from yarshim? Shvuah. So now we have a stretching of Reish Lakish. Not only does this analysis or logic allow me to take money from you, but I can even exempt myself from a shvuah if I'm taking it from your yarshim. Normally we have an ironclad rule. When you take money from yarshim, especially ketanim, you have to take a shvuah, because who knows, maybe the father put some money in escrow, defends yarshim, and you already have the money in escrow. That's, what do we call an escrow? Remember the language of? Svari. Very good. Now, interestingly enough, did Reish Lakish say this? Reish Lakish never talked about yarshim. It's the Gemara that expanded Reish Lakish. Let's read the Gemara carefully, because we're going to go back to what Reish Lakish said and what he didn't say. Let's read Dafei. Again, how does this whole discussion come about? Why are we talking about this in Bava Basra? This sounds like a Bava Metzia conversation. How did this all of a sudden thrust itself into Bava Basra? And what's the connection to the Mishnah? The wall, so the first four amos you have to pay, we assume you pay. This higher than four amos you don't have to pay, but if you agree to pay, then we assume you didn't pay. And Mar says, what do you mean? Just see if it's pre-term or post-term. And Mar says, walls are different. So you can't overlay this machlokus between Abai and Rav and Reish Lakish to our Mishnah, because walls are different. So the Gemara says on hammered base, Hilchasak Reish Lakish. Fascinating. We possibly like Reish Lakish. Ve'afilu miyasni. Even if you're collecting from Yisamim, Yafal Gav De Amar Mar Habal Di Parim Nechse Yisamim Lo Yiparal V'Shvua Hazaka Lo Aved Enish De Parim Begavzim. Now I could have said, "Oh, this is not really an expansion." Reish Lakish's logic of Ein Adam Parav Tov Smana is not a Shvua beater. It doesn't exempt Shvuas. Come on, that's ridiculous. Shvuas, he can't. It's just the Shvuah when you collect from Yisomim. It's a tap on Shvuah. If you have any indicator, any exemption, any little clause, you get out of the Shvuah. It's not a halacha that Ein Adam Parei Tov Smano exempts you from Shvuah. It's a Yisomim issue. This whole stringency to swear against Yisomim, Chazal built in certain exemptions. If you have anything on your side, you don't have to take a Shvuah. I come to Yisomim and I say, give me the money, and I have nothing on my side, I've got to take a Shvuah. If I have anything on my side, then I'm exempt from the Shvuah. But this isn't really an expansion of Reish Lakish. Oh my goodness, this Ein Adam Parav Tov Smano is not just an indicator, it's like Edim. And not only do you get the money, but you're putter from Shvuahs, and it's unbelievable. Like you have Edim supporting your claim, you get the money, and you don't have to take any Shvuahs, and you're putter from everything, because they have Edim. That's not what's being said. It's just a little bearer. And you get the money because this is a compromised suffix, because we know that you're chayim. It's not the classic of Mechaber Levaraya. And the fact that you bought that from a shvuah, that's just, it's an idiosyncrasy about the shvuah. Because anyone who has something supporting their position What question am I discussing? Which Rishon snaps his fingers, raises an afkamina, and is essentially asking what I'm asking? What's the level of Reish Lakish? How do we interpret this Gemara? When I say I'm pater from a shvu against Yisomim, is this basically saying that Eidan Amperetov Manu is a shvua buster? Or is it a special Yisomim issue? Who says this? Tosafot. What's Tosafot's question? Very good, Joey. Would I be pater in Reish Lakish's scenario, not just from taking a shvu against the Yisomim, but for other shavuos that normally devolve upon Tovaz? Which shavuot does Tosfos talk about? What's that one line in Tosfos? Normally, when someone collects with a shtar, he has to take a shavuot. And that's not an attack on shavuot. That's not an always Yisomim defense shavuot where you get off easily. That's a real shavuot. If I collect with a shtar, I have to swear the shtar is in Parosh. Shtar v'lei l'abraticha. Baruch, give me money. Here's a shtar. Said the Targum, swear that this shtar isn't paid back. That's a real shvuah. That's not just an obsession. We're afraid. Protect the Yisomim. Tack on a shvuah. Exempt people from the shvuah if they've got something helping them out. That's a real shvuah. So if I say, Roni, you owe me money. Here's the shtar. He said, by Targum, swear to me that you didn't pay back the shtar. I say, yeah, but Roni, you're claiming you paid back preterm. I've got Adam, you didn't pay back preterm. Why have to take a shvuah if I've ate him? Would Reish Lakish's logic exempt real hardcore shvuos? When the Gemara says, oh, if you have Reish Lakish on your side, if you have this indicator, this Ein Adam Pareh, Enan Sadi on your side, you don't have to take Shvuos Yisomim, that could be, we all know that this Shvuos Yisomim is just neurosis. Then anyone could get out of it, they get out of it. Oh, my father went to the university in Shvuos. Okay, you don't have to take the Shvuos. And I learned Shvuos. You don't have to take the Shvuos. And I don't know, my name starts with Shin. My name is Shimon. Anyone who has some exemption, I can serve in Vienna. Okay, yeah, you can't take. Anyone who has an exemption, you know, I live in Brooklyn. You have to take a shul, you're a liar. Anyone who comes to play with some exemption gets off. That's why Yisomim is ridiculous. I come, I collect from Yisomim. You know, they're agreeing that I'm just worried. Let's protect Yisomim. Anyone's got anything on his side? My name is Shimon, my name is Shmuel, I knew the father, whatever, and I've got Reish Lakish on my side because some of them are claiming the father paid back preterm. Father dies day 15 of the law. And we all know that's ridiculous. No one pays back preterm. So therefore, you don't have to take the Shvua. That's not a big Chiddush. Tosfos is testing the margins. What if it's a real Shvua? What if it's a real Shvua? Not a fake Shvua. It's a real, real Shvua without which you can't collect. Would you say, I'm exempt from the Shvua, because we all know I have Adam saying that Roni didn't pay back because he's claiming something against my name. He's claiming he's paid back day 15, and we all know no one pays back on day 15. Or is it model B? I don't have Adam on my side. I have an indicator. It's likely you didn't pay back, and because this is a compromise suffix, I get to take money from you. And because when it comes to Yorshim, that Shvua is just a ticky-tack Shvua, you get to exempt it. But a real Shvua, I still have to take. I don't have Adam supporting my claim. I may win the case, but I'll still take the Shvua. Heck, if I have a shtar on my side, I still take a shvua. I mean, it's a different type of a shvua, not about the edus, but whether the shtar was ever canceled. So when Tosfos asks this question, Tosfos makes his claim, the Ramban is more of a suffix. Let's read Tosfos now. Tosfos, Amud Beis. Tosfos says, Dibra Maschel Afro Gav D'Amar Rabbanan. Okay. Mikan mashma, shem hotzi shtar chov al chavero. V'amrolei ishtabali. The end of Tosfos dibur maschal afagav. Tela praticha. Begav zinne ein sarach lasso shvua. Everyone in Tosfos' room knew what Tosfos was talking about. He was talking about what's on the board. That was his debate. They were finger snappers. When they said halachos, they knew the logic behind. They came in that day, and everyone in the room was saying, "What is Rebbe going to say today? What is wherever the Rebbe is going to say? He's going to tell us whether this halacha of Reish Lakish is a hard and fast Eidos-like proof, or just a sub-proof that works in this compromise case." Let me tell it to you differently. The discussion that took place in Tosfos in France in the 13th century, who knows where, about whether you take a shvua when you try to collect with a shtar preterm. Remember, that's one case. Remember Tosfos? We're looking at Tosfos, Tam and Beis. Whether when you take a shvua, when you take a shtar, you make a shvua. And the discussion in the Mordechai that took place in the 14th century in Germany about whether person who claims money preterm, but he's only a Shema, whether he wins, they seem like totally different issues, but they're the same logic. This case and that case are the same logic. They seem like very different in the details, whether Tanya Shema works and whether you have to make a shvuah when you try to collect your shtah. But it's the same case, because if it's Amos, then you'd win with a Shema, and you'd be exempt from a Shavuah. And if the sub-Aidus package, then you wouldn't win with a Shema, and you'd have to take a Shavuah for a Shtar. You'd be exempt from the Shiarshim, but you'd have to take a Shavuah. That's Lumbus. Lumbus is taking two details that seem totally different, they're on different sides of the room, and making them quack the same way. Quack, quack, they're quacking the same way. I've got the same ducks, and lining up my ducks. They're all quacking. Quack, 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 they're all quacking in the same way. Lumbus is about ducks. Taking details, you'll remember these things, okay? Trust me. I got an email today, a beautiful email from a boy who's in Why You Must Meet Him. He told me all the metaphors I use, and he still thinks of them. It helps you understand Lumbus. Like getting your ducks in a row and making them quack the same. You got one question, Taina Shema. One question, when I collect with the shtar, do I have to take a shvuah? It's the same question. It's the same logic. How powerful is this Ein Adam Pareh? If it's Eidos, you win across the board, whether you're Shema or Bari. And you don't have to take a Shavuot if you take a Shtar. You have to take a Shavuot for Yarshim, you take a Shavuot for Shtar. You win. Easy street. Straight march. Right there. Straight path to victory. I've got Eidim, Joey. I win. No Shavuot. Who cares about my claim? I win. As opposed to saying, you've got a factor, and obviously take money from the defendant. But if there are contravening factors like a Taina Shema, who knows? And you still have to take a shvua. You have to take the Arshim shvua, because that's a ticky-tack shvua. But the shvua you may have to take when you try to collect with the shtar. It's a whole different environment. It's a whole different model. And the Rishonim are not articulating it because they just took it for granted. We have to decode it. I have to come and give you a 25-minute introduction just to get you into the finger-snapping language. When they snap their fingers, what do they mean? So it says one line, everyone in the room knows what he's talking about. The Morka says one line, everyone in the room knows. The Smach and the Smach and the Shah, everyone knows what they're talking about. Why should Shema deplete the Nemanis? Why should it? Well, it depends what the Nemanis is. Is the Nemanis powerful and impregnable because you've got Edim? Or the Nemanis is low level? What other factor? Factor number three. What other factor did you guys see? Come on. In the Rishonim. A. Do you have to take all Shavuos? Or you just exempt from Shavuos Yisomim? Or you exempt from all Shavuos? Number two, what if there's some factor that weakens the position of the Tovah? What other factor can weaken the position of the Tovah? Not the Mordechai Tav Samach Ches, but the Mordechai Tav Samach Zayin. What happens in Tav Samach Zayin in the Mordechai? When the position of the Tovah is weakened. But if I have Edim, Ari Bro, who cares if I'm weakened? I've got Edim. What other factor can weaken the Tovah? Where's the Shtar? I come in, I say, you owe me money. You say, yeah, but where's the Shtar? I say, I lost it. I don't know. I got burnt. My dog ate it. My kid used it for homework. Who knows what? I sold it on eBay. It's another way to potentially weaken the position of the Tovah. It's like Shema. Just like if the Tovah's claim is Shema, his position is weakened. Similarly, if he can't account for the lost star, his position is weakened. But if I have Edim walking in the room, okay? Go on, help me out here. All right, I need some help, okay? You got two people walking in the room saying, okay, keep your money. What difference does it make? Yes star or no star? You got two Edim. So we're faceless Edim. We're coming in the room, and on one side of you is faceless Edim. So you've got two people chirping away all day long, making me crazy, tweeting away. He owes the money. He owes the money. He owes the money. Hashtag, Edus. He owes the money. He owes the money. What difference does it make if we're twisting our fingers this way, twisting our fingers that way, and where's the shtar? Why don't you have the shtar? Excuse me. Kimo Sabi. Let me introduce you to my Edim. Have you heard about Edim? Make my day. Twirl your fingers all you want. These are my Edim. Okay, hasta la vista. These are my Edim. Edim win. They blow you away. These are my Edim. Now, these are my Edim here. I don't have people walking in the room. I've got invisible people. They believe invisible people walking in the room. No one pays back early. No one pays back early. Same thing. How dare you start to question? There is a star. There isn't a star. Now, what's my proof that Chazaka ain't under prayers Edim? Because how else could you take money from a muchzak, idiot, if it's not Edim? Says Model A. Don't give me all these crazy, fancy, well, come to my Sufik. If you're taking money away from someone, it's because you've got Edim. Hamotz mechaber olav araya. I may be a Shana Aleph guy, but I even know that. So this Edim, if it's Edim, then nothing nibbles away at their position. Not the Taina Shema and not the disappearing star. Who cares? I've got Edim and I've got a straight march. I don't have to take a Shvuah at all from Yisomim, nor have to take a Shvuah and take a Shvuah. Or I say, no, there's a whole different dynamic going on. It's not like there's Edim. There's just a Raya. You win because this is a strange suffix. But it's a Raya. What happens if your Raya is subverted by other factors? You can't find the star, you look like the Keystone Cops, you make a Taina Shema, you play like the Giants, you can't get out of your own way. You sit down, you're going to hurt yourself. Where's my star? Where's the Shema? All of a sudden, your position isn't that strong. Okay, you don't have to take the Shavua Sayarshim, because that's a ticky-tack Shavua, says the Gemara. But you have to take other Shavua, because this is a real case. We don't know who's right. What are you, indicator, non-indicator? So here we're stacking, we're showing. Three different conversations that aren't talking to each other, but they're all quacking the same. What's the level of this Raya Rish Lakish? Well, you think the Rishonim are talking about it? I think the Gemara is talking about how strong this Ein Adam Parea Toks Manjo Ibraha is. Is it like Edom? Or just a, look at me, a schlumpadick little Raya. The guy wins. Listen carefully. Is it Edim or just a little Raya, like a Jello Raya? Well, one nafgamina is, what if there's contravening evidence? You know, this, your position is weakened because you're a Shema or you can't find the Shtar. How far will it exempt you? Will it exempt you from all the Shavuos in the world? It's just this ticky-tack little Shavua. What's another category of nafgamina? Category number one, your position is weakened by suspicious activity, Shema, no shtar. Number two, how broad and sweeping is it? Number three, how will this raya that you have, Mr. Tovea, play in the sandbox with other rayos that the Nitva may have? Who asked that question? What happens if the Nitva has his raya against my raya? Trick, it's not me talking. Not the Achronim talking. Not even the Rishonim talking. The Gemara may be asking our question. But how did the Gemara snap its fingers? What was the Gemara's way of asking whether the Tovea has a hard and fast Edim, or he just has a weak Raya that lets him win? What happens if the Nitva has his own Raya? What type of Raya could the Nitva have?
Nigo.
Question of Nigo, Neged Chazaka. What happens if the Nitva has his own gun. Says, I paid back on day 45. I paid back day 15, but now it's day 15. Believe me, I said I paid back day 15. I could have said I paid back today. So now I got a Raya, Mr. Rish Lakish Tovea. I got a Raya. Could you believe that? Little old me. I got a Raya. What do you have? It's a game of poker. What do you have? So the Tovea has Edim. He says, I don't care about your Raya. I have Edim. Get out of my way. But if the Tovea doesn't have Edim, the Tovea just has a Raya that helps him. What about if the Nitva has his own royal flush in his hand? That could be the question of Migo Neged Chazaka. In the Mishnah, the Nitva didn't have a Migo because he was coming on day 15 and claiming he paid back. So as though I could have said something else. But if it's now day 15, I could have said I paid back today. If I said I paid back today, I wouldn't have been believed. But I said I paid back day 15. And Ibailu. Tavol li achar zman. I'm just citing the Gemara by heart. The Amar Parati Talsman Mau Migo Makam Chazaka Rinan Alam Rinan. It's all finger snapping. Everyone in that base medrash in Sura knew exactly what this question was referring to. They didn't have to articulate it. Should the Nitva's Migo overcome the Tovea's strength? What level of strength does the Tovea really have here? So three questions in the Rishonim, but now that you see it in the Rishonim, now it's easier to see it in the Gemara. Now you know what the Gemara is talking about. Possibly. We'll think about another way to think about it tomorrow. But all of a sudden, it's like, now again, there's larger global ramifications. How does this change our view of Chazkas Mamar? I gave this whole introduction. If you don't like the introduction, you didn't follow, it's fine. Just hone in on the sugya. The simple sugya, without me giving you background and systemic logic. The simple read of the sugya is, what is the level of this indication according to Rish Lakish? Is it Eidos or something less? I put that in context for you for all of Shas. Why, if it's something less, that's a major revolution in Shas. If it's Eidos, then it's not a major revolution. Okay, but in our sugya, is it Edras or something less? Three nafkaminas in Rishonim. One is, you have to take a real shvua, or you're exempt from real shvuas, just like you're exempt from tiki-tak yarshim shvuas. Category number two, what if there's a weakening of the Tovea's position? And in category two, there are two nafkaminas. One is if the Tovea Shema, and one is if the Tovea can't locate the shtar. Nafkamina number three, the Gemara may be asking, what if the Nitva has his own Miko? Very good, Alex. Oof. Okay, I'm going to let you guys go. There's a whole different way to learn the sugya that the Riff introduces, but I don't want to confuse this part of the sugya. This is the main thrust of the sugya. There's a chiddush in the sugya. It's a nice chiddush. I came at it with Rav Kahn, where he learned this Gemara, or Friedman, I learned this Gemara in 1987, so I've been holding it in for 32 years, but I'll hold it in for another 7 years. So the next, maybe we'll talk about it later in the Beis Medrash. Let's stop here. Okay. There's a whole different way to learn the Gemara's question. The way we just learned the Gemara's question, if the Nitva has a Migo and the Toveh has his Reish Lakish force on his side, so we're asking how strong is the Reish Lakish force? Is it Edim? Or is it just a weak Raya? That reads the Gemara as a local question. What would happen to Reish Lakish's force that supports the Toveh if it's opposed by another force that the Nitva has? How strong is Reish Lakish's force supporting the Tovea? How can it defeat, or is it defeated by Migo? That would mean this Gemara is very local. We're gauging the intensity level, the force level, the velocity, the strength of Reish Lakish's factor. Another way to read the Gemara, and this is the way it sounds from the language of the Gemara, is we're asking a general question, not just in our Gemara, where the Nitva has a Migo and the Tovea has another strength. How strong is the Tovea's Eina Damperet Toxmano in relation to Migo? Because that would mean it's a local question. You can't parallel it with other cases. If you read the language of the Gemara, what does the Gemara say? Migo b'makom chazaka amrinan. Ma'ayin l'shaker odilma b'makom chazaka lamri. It sounds like it's a global question in life. Anytime Migo hits in an ansadi and there's a conflict between the two, who triumphs, the Migo or the chazaka? So there's an offset here between one way to read the Gemara, that it's a local question, how strong is Reish Lakish's Tovea supporting evidence, and will it beat Amigo or be beaten by Amigo? As opposed to another way to read the Gemara in general. And we're going to take a look at that second approach tonight and tomorrow. Maybe this is a general question. We don't really know about how strong Reish Lakish is. Let's say, for example, Reish Lakish is not Aegis. It's a weak Raya. But what happens when Migo meets a conflicting Raya? Maybe Migo loses even to weak Rayas. Maybe Migo is only something very, very weak and it doesn't overcome opposing Rayas. Even if Reish Lakish's Raya for the Tovea, Elias, is not an Eidos, it's still a Raya. Maybe Migo only works in a complete vacuum. This isn't a vacuum because the Tovea has strength on his side that says you didn't pay back preterm, so your Migo disappears. Maybe it's a Migo question. So we'll use tomorrow as an opportunity to introduce ourselves to the world of Migo. Tomorrow will be our first dip in the big, big pool of Migo. Big, big pool of Migo. Anyone know who wrote the most famous Sefer on Migo? Okay. Interesting historiographically. Rishonim knew Torah so well, they didn't have to write topical Svarim. They just held Torah and Shas in their mind so firmly, they go, when the Rabban writes about Migo, he's processing 700 sugyas of Migo. It's so instinctive, like 700 plays of your favorite athlete. You don't think about each play. Just think about the moves he has and the type of game he has. It's all processed. I said, well, give me five examples. Oh, the game against Cleveland, the game against San Antonio. Again, you just all of a sudden pull out these details. So the Ramban had these instinctive ideas of Migo that he just were based on those 700 expressions of Migo. But then generations unfold, generations unfold, generations unfold, and people don't have that same mastery of Torah. So there's certain topics. People say, well, we have to write about this topic and collate information, not just by writing on each daf, daf beis, daf gimel, daf dalet. We've got to write topical svarim. And this is the birth of topical svarim. So the truth is, it already happens in the Rishonim. The Ramban and his Talmidim were very into writing topical svarim. So which svarim did the Ramban write about topics? Anyone know? Which topical svarim? Not a parish.
Dina de Garmi.
Dina de Garmi, excellent. What type of damage is so direct that I pay? What type of damage is indirect that I don't pay? Grama, you don't pay. Garmi Yepay. The Gemara never qualifies what's Garmi and what's Grama. It never says, if it's this, it's Garmi. If it's that, it's 13 cases. This is Chai, this is Pata, this is Chai, this is Pata, this is Chai, this is Pata. Go figure. What are the guidelines? What are the parameters? Is it velocity? Is it immediacy? Let me talk a little bit about giri delay, immediacy, exclusivity, how much strength you apply. What is it? So it takes several months. I'm going to write a topic. I'm going to talk about the topic. The two people in history to write a parish on Dina de Garmi, the Ramban and Rav Lichtenstein. That's it. Incredible. What other topics did the Ramban write about? What other svarim did he write about? Anyone know? Taras HaAdam. What's he say for Taras HaAdam? But all the laws that associate with the end of life, illness, Bikur Cholim, Rifu and Shabbos, death, Avelus, Aninus, Kivura, Turma, basically like the end of life starting from sickness. He wrote a sefer called Mishpatei HaCherem, on the laws of excommunication, which was a very relevant issue in those days. People were excommunicated. Right? I'm not going to excommunicate anyone. You're not coming to me, you're excommunicated. We don't have that strength. They had excommunication. Mishpatei HaCherem. He wrote a parish on Dalet Minim, a specific parish collecting. That's obviously easier because it's much more local. Rashba wrote, I told you, a parish on all the halachos necessary to run a Jewish home. What did he call it? Tarat Habayit. And the Ra'ah, one of his colleagues, wrote a Bedek Habayit. And the Rashba wrote a defense called the Mishmeret Habayit. So they were back and forthing as to who's got the better house. Not in my house. Not in our house. But now it's the end of the 1500s, beginning of the 1600s, and Abshapti Cohen, who's a Polish rabbi, said, I got to write about Migo, because there's just too much information and people just can't collect it all. So he wrote something called Klele Migo LaHashach. He has about 33 principles of Migo. And then the Tumim. Who wrote the Tumim? Vyonis and Ibishitz. In the 18th century, I'll write my own Klele Migo. And then the Nesivos, Rabbi Yaakov Leiberbaum, wrote his Klele Migo, operating off of the Shach, and he introduced this whole new format of a Sefer. What other topical Sefer famously did the Shach write? About what other area? He wrote a Sefer about possession and Emotzi Mechav El Avaraya. But he chose one of the test cases. What's the best way to test the strength of Emotzi Mechav El Avaraya? If two people... Well, one way to test it is if two people are holding something jointly. What case is that where two people are holding something jointly? Shnai Mechsim Metalis. Another test case to see the strength of Motzei Mechav El Avaraya is, Eli Rifkin, that's my shirt, you win. What if I grab it from you and then tomorrow I'm holding the shirt? Can Motzei Mechav El Avaraya be transferable? What's that called in the Shach's world? What's the famous case where I grab something that I think is mine and now I'm holding onto it? Takfo? Takfo Kohen. Where the Kohen says, that's my animal, it's the firstborn. Yisrael says, I don't know. Yisrael wins. At night, the Kohen grabs it. Ariel, you're aggressive Kohen. You grab the presumed firstborn. He wrote an entire Sefer when he was 17 during the month of Cheshvan. It's not about Takfo Kohen. It's about Mechsakos. And that's just the extremely luscious case that helps us see what Hamotzei Mechav El Avaraya is, Yaakov Grunzfeld. Is it a proof? Then maybe proofs can now be, can't be transferred. But if it's just status quo, now I'm the status quo. And so Takfo Kohen is right down Central Avenue. If you're going to build a city. Some of you are going to urban planning. Okay? And you're going to combine Lumdus with urban planning. And you'll call your cities based on topics and shas. This will be the Migo city. This will be the Hamotzei Mechav El Avaraya city. This will be the Shlichus city. Chabad people will live there. This will be the Me'ilo city. Thieves will live there. Everyone will live in a city of Lumbus. And you'll have streets. Oh, the Shach, Ayin Ches, Sivkot, and Gimel, that's the street you live on because it's an interesting Shach. But the name, I love it. The main drag in Hamotzi Mechavero, there are two main avenues in the city called Hamotzi Mechavero La Varaya. One is Shnai Mochs and Metalis, and one is Takfo Kohen. These are the two cases that I was understanding. A major street in that city would be Reish Lakish. It wouldn't be Washington Street and Lincoln Street. It would be like Monroe Avenue. Oh, Reish Lakish, you can take money away with Inodon Perea. Let's name a street after Reish Lakish in the city called Hamotzi Mechavero, Olivaraya. Okay, guys, don't get too irreverent here, okay? That's the way you... Yeah, because you love me, right? Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Maybe... This question wasn't about the specifics of Reish Lakish's Raya, does it overcome Migo, is this right? Maybe it's a general question. When Migo interacts with another Raya, what's the nature of Migo? And can it beat the other Raya, or gets beaten down by the other Raya? Let's take a look at tomorrow. Okay, guys? We're going to do this. And Kippur's coming. Okay, we're coming over to my house. Anyone have guests?